You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we have appropriate professionals in the studio today. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design here on WTCM with Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is so good to be here. Thank you, Ron. On 9/15, Thursday, September 15th, 2022, if you would like, call us or contact us with a question of a financial nature that we may be able to help you with today, and that number is, if you would, Ron.
It's 231 area code. Call 947-0023, or you can text a message at 237-7855.
Heidi was just talking before the show about how fun it is to look forward to this day for us. We usually get a special coffee on the way here. It's always
Heidi Cartwright.
Kind of an event. Heidi. The Heidi Cartwright, our own RICP and Managing Executive there at Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. Yes, indeed.
It's great to have you here with us.
A little caffeine doesn't hurt.
Voice is a bit lower this morning as I listen to it. In fact, thinking about doing my Barry White.
Go for it.
I've heard people say too much of a good thing.
Can you do an Elvis
kind
say?
Kind of working on it.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. I don't have that one down, but Barry White, I think I'm a bit closer. Maybe we'll hear a bit of him, eh?
We will probably hear a bit of him.
And then, as well, Deanne Jennings.
Happy September morn, everyone.
Hello, September morn.
Our managing director. Director of staff. What
operations.
Is that? Director of operations. I wrote that down wrong. See,
you were close.
It's all in that area.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
It's all in that area.
About that. Director of operations. Oh, my gosh. A significant role in getting us to the new property, which is going to happen. We'll be opening as of November 10th in the new building.
Yes, we will be serving clients in the new building November 10th. We are so excited.
Are we ever?
We're getting anxious, I'd
say. It's coming along. Mm-hmm. It really is.
It is.
They're actually, just because I'm sure people want to know, it's just fun for us to talk about. The flooring is going to be in tentatively on the 26th of September.
Yes.
So it's really, that generally signals the end of the major pieces and parts.
I see once it was announced that you were moving in on that busy corner, 8th and Garfield, a bakery opened up, or is going to open up next door. Is that a weird coincidence?
I think they sense the energy.
So convenient.
Yeah, how convenient.
Yes.
Convenient.
You know, we might be able to barter for some muffins or something.
A loaf of bread.
Right. Let's talk about your simple IRAs, shall we? And thanks for the muffins.
Right.
So today we're talking about bear markets and recessions. How do we know whether or not we're in a recession? Well, first of all, simply put, generally, a recession is a decline in gross domestic product, the goods and services contributed to the economy through industry. Now, in quarter one of this year, the economic numbers were down 1.6%, 1.6. In the second quarter, down 0.6%. But there's been a lot of discussion about, okay, so what is it and why is there a question? Because it was down so little in the second quarter. There's been some hedging back and forth in terms of, is this actually a recession?
What is the definition?
Yeah, so the National Bureau of Economic Research defines a recession, and they are a non-political organization. Thank you very much. As a significant decline in activity spread across the economy, lasting more than a few months, visible in industrial production, employment, real income, and wholesale retail trade. So generally, It appears as though we're in this, but we're going to find out here in the third quarter, given that we're almost done with the, you know, we're
just yeah,
September
weeks.
15th, end as of I said, we got 2 weeks.
End of September is the end of third quarter.
It is, mm-hmm. Indeed. So we'll find out about a lot more. Recession is also believed to be signaled when businesses cease to expand. We're already starting to see that in some of the articles we see on white-collar employees. Those numbers coming back, and I'm hearing that in the street as well. You know, bigger companies not hiring quite as actively as they once were. Even companies like Google backing off some on their hiring. General indicators. The GDP diminishes for two consecutive quarters, as we mentioned, and the unemployment rate rises. Unemployment rising. So the employment numbers have been down some, but I don't think risen significantly.
Isn't the unemployment numbers kind of hard to gauge? It's a little more normal now, but because we had such that drop-off during COVID and then a lot of quick hiring back, which made the unemployment rate go down, the rate of hiring go up.
Yes.
So it's all kind of still affected by the pandemic.
It is. Yeah. We're still getting through that, of course. You know, as you discussed that, obviously we're seeing the school kids. They're still getting acclimated to being in a classroom now, the whole populace. We saw this in the 1920s. Excuse me. The stock market was really negative for about 4 years, starting in the early 20s. And most people aren't aware of that. Why? Well, we thought it was the roaring 20s. Well, we had the pandemic in the
March.
I think it was
1917.
The flu. 1917 was it?
1918.
Yeah. Obviously, then World War I as well. So. Just a nasty point in time, but it certainly took that economy in those days a while to respond and recover, as it is this one, I think. Nature and causes of recession are simultaneously evident and uncertain. Recessions are, in essence, a cluster of business failures being realized simultaneously. Firms are forced to reallocate resources, scale back production, limit losses, and usually lay off employees. So it's a combination of things. We'll wait to see. Now, what's interesting is Goldman Sachs is also saying they believe that we are in a classic bear market as a result of a recession.
What's a bear market again?
Bear market is a decline of more than 20%. We've already hit that definition as defined by the S&P 500. It's already hit the 20% number in terms of being down for this year thus far. Now, a cyclical, Goldman is referring to this as a cyclical bear market, negative market. They went back to 1835, and we referenced this in the email blast. So instead of going back to 1935, such a short time ago,
yes.
They went back to 1835 to do this study, and the average length, 26 months for a cyclical bear market. The average decline, 30%. Time to recover, this is not so much fun to talk about. 50 months, 4 years to recover from that decline.
Yeah.
So,
if you believe in patterns like that, what's to stop people from saying, "Yeah, I'm pulling my money out of the market for 2 years"?
Well, the only thing to stop them from that is the knowledge that it never repeats.
It does not repeat.
History repeats itself, and never repeats itself, but it rhymes. So, I see this now, and I mentioned this in the past. You get those who were seeking value, like Warren Buffett. He got authorization to buy up to 50% of Occidental Petroleum, OxyPete, as I call it. That's a small indicator, granted. But those who tend to be longer-term investors, we don't know when it's going to recover, but the market always anticipates the recovery as well and often responds before the recovery is even evident. So the fact that you'd miss out on those up days is usually what causes people not only to have reviewed their portfolio to make certain that they can actually spend money from it, keeping in mind, what's this money for? Is it to continue to grow for the long term, or do I need a portion of it to produce income to me? If that's the case, is that portion to produce income in the appropriate place? Because again, we can never anticipate when this thing will have ceased to exist in terms of a negative market.
I have a question. So a lot of people have money in stocks for their retirement and their IRA, 401k,
absolutely,
whatnot.
It's universal.
In mutual funds, probably. Yeah. People run those mutual funds. Smart people, right? They pick stocks knowing that they're knowledgeable and they see the pattern, the trends. Some stocks are earning money, going up. Others are down. Do they try to dump the dogs and buy the stocks that have potential right now?
They do. Okay. That's exactly what they're doing. I'll just say defense contractors. Now, obviously what they do is they help destroy people and economies because countries are fighting against each other. We can use Ukraine and Russia as an example, can we not? Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Given that reality, there's a lot of production going on in that sector. And what are they tending to buy right now? I can't use a blanket statement ever, just for full disclosure.
Yep.
They're tending to buy, some of them, defense contractors, because they view that as a significant profit opportunity. So you fell right into my trap.
Ha-ha!
You fell right into it. Because they were doing this yesterday.
Okay.
You know, as you mentioned. So, yes. Yes.
The S&P 500, looking at the last year, it's up there on the screen, is down.
Sure. I can't,
so does that mean that we're already a year into this potential, you know, based on the record you had there, could it possibly, are we a year into it? A bear market?
That's a great question, too, because he is, see, Ron?
He's on fire today.
He is on fire.
Fuego.
So it's... God, that song just came to my mind. I couldn't help it. It's crazy what we're seeing in that. But yeah, so yes, the first quarter and second quarter are down. So if we're looking at a classic recessionary economy, maybe 10 months, 9 months into it, you know, we'll see. Lots of discussion about what is the definition there, you know. And always that's the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
More discussion, I think, than we've ever seen. Lots of pitched discussion about it, as it were. So, yeah, we're all trying to find ourselves or find our way because this is a different type. It rhymes, but it doesn't repeat. And so, you know, trying to find... Okay, what am I comfortable with? What does make sense for my portfolio? Because of the degree of responsibility we all have to try to make this work for ourselves. But pension plans, as you were talking, Ron, I was thinking, now how are they invested? They're making adjustments depending on their time frames, but they're making those buys and sells on an ongoing basis to try to take advantage of what things look like ahead. You know, that's what they're trying to do. So hopefully... that's where you can be helped over the long term, is using good people to do good things. We'll hit some more of this bear market and recession information at the end of the show, but we also have Heidi talking about COVID-related distributions, CRDs from IRAs. And this is kind of a kind of a narrow piece of the retirement investor situation, but it's really interesting in terms of what you might do to help yourself these days if you took out some money relating to a COVID-related distribution. So let's talk about that. Heidi, please.
All right. So I have to take you back to the CARES Act. Mm. We've had so many since then. We may not remember. But back in 2020, there was the CARES Act. And in the CARES Act, you were allowed to withdraw money from your IRA or maybe your workplace plan. That would include a 401k, 403b, those types of plans. And another caveat of that was that you are allowed to repay that money back into your IRA or plan if you took a withdrawal. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So these are called coronavirus-related distributions, or CRDs, as Dennis related before.
Now, that was in 2020. 2020,
that is correct?
Okay.
Correct.
2020.
So was that you weren't up until then? This is a special exception because of COVID.
Correct.
You could withdraw money. Could you not withdraw money before that?
Well, if you are over 59 and a half, you can take money out of an IRA, an employer plan, if you follow their rules, depending on whether you're terminated or still working. There's different age classifications to take money out of an employer plan as well. So CRDs were made available in 2020 to qualified individuals with certain health or financial issues who thought it necessary to reach into the retirement accounts. So you had to get COVID yourself or have a spouse or a dependent, or if you experienced certain adverse financial consequences related to COVID. Maybe you got laid off, or maybe you had to reduce your hours, or maybe you had to stay home and do childcare. If you had some kind of adverse financial consequence, you could take up to $100,000 from one of your accounts.
At any age?
At any age. Yep. Okay.
So the key is you weren't charged a 10% penalty.
Okay.
Because you're under the age of 59 and a half.
Exactly.
You would have been taxed. Okay.
You still had to pay the taxes on that withdrawal, but you didn't get the penalty.
Okay.
So while you had to take that in 2020, you had to that would have been reported on your 1099-R, and you would have had to pay tax. But they gave you two ways to pay the tax. They gave you could pay it all in the year of 2020 itself, or you could spread the amount of the tax equally over a three-year period, which would have been 2020, 2021, and 2022. So spreading, of course, was the more popular option. Spread that bill over a number of years so that possibly it was lower. Mm-hmm. But anyone under age 59 and a half would have been exempt from that 10% early distribution penalty. That otherwise, like this year, if you did that, you'd get a penalty of 10%. But those who choose to repay, you have to do so within 3 years after the funds were received. And that's why we're bringing this up right now. Because, for example, if you took a CRD, say, on May 15th of 2020, you have until May 16th of 2023 to recontribute that distribution. And that's why we wanted to bring it up now, because those three-year deadlines are going to be coming up in the next year. So you want to start thinking about this, or maybe talking to your CPA about, is this something that I want to do?
And a larger discussion, too, this makes sense in terms of your overall financial well-being and health, too. So discussing this with your accountant and or your financial advisor, could this make sense now given what I've done? And or what can I do now given that the market is down? So that's an added ingredient in terms of could this possibly make sense because the market is down as much as it is. So this could make sense, especially again right now, to either make contributions or recontribute amounts that you've taken out.
So maybe like you could buy more shares because the share price is lower versus what you sold them at when you took that distribution out.
Correct.
All right. So this recontribution is considered a direct rollover or a trustee-to-trustee transfer, and they do not count towards contribution limits. So your contribution, we've gone over that, where you have a limit as how much you can put in your employer plan. Let's take that for example. But putting this money back in from these CRDs does not count towards that for this year. So you won't be messing with your contribution limits for this year. So let's use another example. If you made a CRD in 2020, included the entire amount as income in that year, and decided to repay it before the deadline, you would amend your 2020 tax return and attach the IRS form 8915E to claim the refund. In doing so, not only would your tax be less, but it could affect your tax bracket depending on where you are in your income tax bracket in 2020.
And the refund could be significant because of the amount that you withdrew. Given that it's up to $100,000, in some cases might be as much as $20,000, $25,000, even $30,000 of withheld taxes. that would be returned to you in the form of your redone, if you will, tax return.
Okay? Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you repay the CRD, the funds will resume their tax-deferred growth within the IRA, the traditional IRA, or your 401k or your other retirement plan. Repayment isn't always the best choice, though. Like Dennis was indicating, this is a great discussion to have with your financial advisor. You've already paid the tax. It's already out of that IRA or that employer plan. Maybe you want to just keep it invested outside the plan. You could use it as an emergency fund, or maybe you have some opportunities that you want to take advantage of and you don't want to put the money back. So it's definitely worth collaborating with your financial advisor on this.
It is. Tax rates have never been this low. We talked about to clients about this in the last couple of days. Start thinking about taking withdrawals from your IRA accounts, given that they represent the majority of your assets, when you're retired and possibly earlier than you have to at age 72, because today's tax brackets are that low, and you may be able to take good advantage of those low tax brackets. Even
exactly.
Though.
And then Deanne had a great question for me before the show. Do you remember?
Absolutely. Deanne? So when you take that money out of the IRA, do you have to put the money back into the same IRA?
And that's a great question. Mm. Is the answer is no, you do not have to put it in the same vehicle. Mm. You could have, you know, lost your job and you're no longer in that 401k plan, or so you do not have to put it back in the exact same account or program. So that is an option for you as well. So that's just a little bit. And if you happened to take a distribution in 2020, revisit that and see, do you want to repay part or all of that?
Great. Good stuff, huh? So it's not, again, just related to this specific situation. It's related to yours. These are great conversations to have. What can I do now with what I've got? What adjustments might I possibly want to make? What could make sense now, given the reality of today and where we're at? And what's going on out there in the markets? How do we, if you will, deign what's going on, the word of the day? D-E-I-G-N. I love words.
D-E-I-G-N.
Dane.
Dane.
Yes.
I'm going to bring that up with the professor on Tuesday.
Let's see if I'm using that right. Prout, you got that right. Hmm?
Dane.
All right. So Deanne Jennings has got some interesting stats on the economic front here I think will be helpful, too. So hit it if you would, Deanne.
Absolutely. We do. The first couple stats are in honor of our bear market discussion here. In February 2020, global stocks entered a sudden bear market in the wake of the global coronavirus pandemic, sending the Dow down 38% from its all-time high on February 12th, which was 29,568.77, to a low on March 23rd, which was 18,213.65, in just over 1 month. And that's from Investopedia.
Most people forget that. You know, 6 weeks in essence of what was the percentage decline in the Dow?
38%.
38.
Yeah.
So in today's numbers, that'd be in the range of about 11,000 points. Mm-hmm. We're down, give or take, let's see, about 5,000 plus points or so. So not down nearly as much as we were in that time.
And that was just 1 month.
Yeah, it was a little over a month. Yeah, about 6 weeks, I think.
It was a crazy ride, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Yeah. Between 1900 and 2018, the Dow had approximately 33 bear markets, averaging one every 3 years.
Now, the interesting part of this discussion, we've talked about this before, too. In April of that same year, the market had its biggest month in 30 years. That's why folks tend to be reluctant to move out. As a client said 2 days ago, yeah, I move out and, you know, it goes right on up. Mm-hmm. So that's the danger of that.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard to time the market. And by the time you realize what's going on, you've missed out.
Yeah.
That's not the same, but it's the same reason you probably won't sell your house, even though it's not worth quite what it was maybe 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. We do need a place to live, don't we? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So given that reality, why are we selling it? Yeah. So it seems kind of ridiculous maybe to use that as an example, but asset prices do move up and down. It's just that we're uniquely aware of what the stock market is doing, as are the politicians in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. And speaking of housing, Dennis, there's a housing paradox out there. The U.S. has come down with a case of housing blues. Americans are either sad because they can't buy a house or sad because they did buy a house. Nearly three in four home buyers have at least one regret related to the recent home purchase. Homeowners are watching their net worth fall as soaring mortgage rates soften demand. Home prices dropped in July for the first time in 32 months at rates doubled from January. Number one regret is overpaying. Buyers paid a median of $65,000 over asking price for their new cribs. Meanwhile, wannabe buyers are far from their white picket fence dreams because prices are still significantly elevated. And that's from Robinhood.
And interesting, too, inflation as a number most likely going forward will only increase more slowly from the rates of prices that they're currently at. Mm. In most of these goods and services, and we're not going to see a significant decline in prices. We may, but most likely we won't. And inflation will continue on from there.
Yeah.
I like the terminology there, Deanne. Cribs.
I know.
We
use hip language here on the radio show. Yeah, we're hip. We're hip. Are you hip if you have to say you're hip? I don't know.
Yeah.
And we have last statistic. This is kind of sad. But average life expectancy in America has fallen to about 76 years, the lowest level since 1996. COVID, gun violence, and chronic illnesses are some of the causes for the U.S. falling behind countries like China.
Hmm.
And that's from Robin Hood.
I think ODs, too, have spiked. Opioids, fentanyl, et cetera.
Yeah, and over the border. Yep.
Rough stuff.
Wow.
You bet. Not fun. Yeah, thank you, Deanne. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
So what is a bear market? How do we define that? What does it look like? Bear markets are often associated with declines in an overall market or index, and I've mentioned this briefly in some of our other stats. Like the S&P 500, 500 companies tend to be in leadership positions within their own industries. That's the Standard & Poor's 500.
How many?
As 500 stocks.
No, 500.
500, you bet. They're actually 500 companies, okay, as assimilated through McGraw-Hill. But individual securities or commodities can also be considered to be in a bear market if they experience a decline of 20% or more over a sustained period of time. Well, these days, it sort of reminds me of long ago, John Templeton said, you know, these markets respond so much more quickly. It used to take months. What now takes days and sometimes hours. Hmm. Markets respond very quickly. As we saw the other day when the market was down 1,200 points because they were a little disappointed in the inflation number. Instead of being a negative 0.1%, it was a positive 0.1% in terms of inflation for the month of August.
Yeah.
Back. August. This is September. Thank you very much. So, yes, even though that number wasn't that significantly different, it was disappointment. And so the market responded specifically and fiercely on the negative, down almost 4% in a day. Ouch. So bear markets occur when prices, any market decline by more than 20%, often accompanied by negative investor sentiment. It's the negativity brought on. We're tending to see this in a variety of industries and or even in Washington, D.C., as we hear the quotes from our politicians. I'll keep it general. Bear markets can be cyclical or longer term. The former lasts for several weeks or a couple of months, and the latter, longer term, can last for several years or even decades. We haven't been in something like that in a long time. We can think all the way back to 07. Market hit its high in October of 07, hit its low in March of 09. So, man, that seemed interminable in and of itself, right? That seemed long, but in reality, still relatively short in terms of a bottoming of the markets. Now, it recovered relatively quickly, too. I don't have that number off the top of my head, but they usually take longer to recover in terms of price versus what's occurred in terms of negativity, in terms of the market decline. So it's almost like it's making me think of Russia expanding itself so quickly into the Ukraine, and rather so slowly, I mean, so slowly in the way in, and now rushing out, you know, almost like a wave of water going on out of, I think, 3,300 square miles left by the Russians that was previously habitated by them. I can't think of the right term. Anyway, that was controlled. How about just the word controlled, Dennis? There you go.
That works.
So stock prices generally reflect future expectations of cash flows and profits from companies. And we were talking about this at the break, Ron. Can we mention Google? Has anyone heard of Google? Yeah. Hello. So it is down this year so far about 25-28%, depending on the day of the week. Now, if we've owned that for 5 years and doubled and tripled our money, I don't have the exact number. Please don't quote Dennis on this one. But you've made a nice sum. Now, would you necessarily liquidate that stock because it's come down by 25%? Well, someone's buying it, you know, and who's buying it? Frankly, the money managers who are seeking more value now because they've gotten a discount on that stock. And they see significant value in its growth going forward. So for every seller, there tends to be a buyer.
It's like buying GM 60, 70 years ago, wouldn't it? I mean, if they were up and down, GM was always, or like, what was it? What was the other big stocks back then?
Bellwether. Procter & Gamble is a good example of a good consumer defensive company, if you will, that tends to weather these storms quite well, but the price may be down in the short term. So having to liquidate and then pay the capital gains on it, the taxes, if it's in a taxable account, proves then foolhardy, if you will. Okay. One definition of a bear market says markets are down 20%. If it is an arbitrary number, which they can maintain, just as a 10% decline is an arbitrary benchmark, another definition of a bear market is when investors are more risk-averse than risk-seeking. This kind of bear market can last for months or years. While Goldman Sachs has said this is a cyclical bear market, tends to be shorter than some other bear markets, such as in structural bear markets, the cyclical one being 2 years. If we're already a year into it, you know, we could look and say hello at some point in 23. We've neared the end of it, and the markets respond very directly on the way up. Usually they're anticipating 3 to 6 months into the future in terms of when is the end of this. And that positivity tends to happen relatively quickly because of the amount of money supply in the markets and or right now the lack thereof. So each of these combine to create difficulties. And isn't that interesting? I mean, we can get philosophical about that too. At any given point in time, how comfortable am I with this risk, reviewing that possibly, and really taking a look at where are those accounts right now, and what if anything should we do or could we do? In some cases, it's nothing. In others, it may be making some minor adjustments that do make sense over time and can make a difference. We also looked at information in terms of retirement in a recession. Where am I drawing the income from? And do I have that flexibility to do that? Maybe, just maybe, I want to go back to part-time work as well. So you see, there are a lot of things you can do about this difficulty that we're all experiencing. And sometimes you perhaps need someone to just push back against and really have that in-depth conversation. Why, again, are you retiring can be a significant question. And remembering those questions, remember, that's from the... movie Amazing Grace, okay? Just in case. So remembering why, and are you sure that's what you want to do? Let's talk more about that why. So then that can give you the perspective, the definition to stay retired if that's what you want to do.
Would it make sense in general for some people if they're still working and still contributing money to their IRA or 401k, and they're putting that in every week or month.
Yes.
And they're watching the returns over the last few months or years go down, and they say, maybe I'm not going to pull out of the market. I'm going to stop putting into the market, maybe take that money and pay off loans. So if I'm paying whatever, 3-4% on a car loan, or if I'm paying 4-5% of my mortgage, I think I'll pay those down with money instead of putting that money into the stock market right now. Is that a strategy worth considering for some people?
All of those can be, depending on your ability to already play defense. Part of this is always your ability to play defense as well as offense. Because not putting money into the stock market right now in really good mutual funds is, in the end, in and of itself, short-sighted, because you're buying, as Heidi mentioned, more shares at a much lower price these days, especially even the great mutual funds that are out there. So putting money in every month can be a very good thing. It depends still on your own personal financial situation and your ability to pay on those loans. Maybe you decide to split the difference. Maybe you decide not to do anything. It just depends on the individual. That's why you want to have those conversations, because it can make sense.
And right? Would,
given that you're uncomfortable and or you've got too much debt, then by all means, yes.
Yeah. And I would just remind people, especially if you're in like a 401k plan and your employer is matching, you know,
yeah,
you're giving up that match where you're doubling, you know, if they, you know, match you up to a certain percentage. So you want to take that in consideration as something you're missing out on as well. So,
free yeah. money.
It is. Yeah. Exactly. And on a way to improve on your rate of return significantly within that plan.
All right, Prout, financialdesign.com.
Yes.
You got
yes,
it.
Yes, indeed.
Great. Right there on Front and Garfield.
You bet.
All right. Thank you, Dennis Prout.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Heidi Cartwright.
Thanks, Ron.
And Deanne Jennings. Thank you.